I really want to encourage us to open up our hearts this morning. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think because we are charismatic that, and we are a charismatic church, that we are spirit-filled. But I want to encourage us that God wants to move in our lives in a way and in places that it's not just limited to a church building or to a small group meeting or just having another get-together as Christians. And I've sort of preached a couple of weeks ago on the whole idea of our Father and the fact that we live in a fatherless generation. And ek wil gou vir Lintjie vra om op te kom. And just to share with us this week, we've had an outreach here in Stellenbosch and the surrounding. We had a local mission where about 100 people came, 100 students. And we went just from the Salvation Army to the Boys Town to the places in Franschhoek, all over, up into the rubbish dumps, just gave out food, and we're just the hands and the feet for God. But I want her to share a story with us of something they discovered in the hospital. Was that on Thursday evening?
Hello. We went Thursday evening and we prayed at the hospital, and then closed. We went over to the hospice, and at the bottom there was all the people that prayed. It was AIDS and everything, and then some of us went upstairs to the Nadi Kramsal, and then we just prayed. And then as we walked out, I just heard this scream, but it was a yes, Demiki, like there wasn't any voice left. And we walked in, and there was this little baby laying in his bed, and it was, his voice was gone already, and she was crying this really badly. And then and I picked it up because nobody picked it up, and then stopped crying. As immediately we just touched and he heard his voice, he just stopped crying. And I asked the nurse, why is the baby here and where's his mother? Because just the room next door, there's all the babies with their mothers. And she said, no, the mother was here 3 days ago, and the baby got born and everything. And then they found the babe, and 3 days, well, she was in the hospital, and they told her if she doesn't want the baby, there's adoption service and everything. But she said, no, she wants a baby. And then 3 days after she left the hospital, they found the baby in a black bag in the river. And then somebody found the baby, and they took her back to the hospital, because then they found who the mother was, and the mother is now in the jail. But so the baby's been in the hospital now for 4 months, and she's just there, and they talk about the baby as if it's the thing, like, oh, that he cries the whole time, and of no name, and just all the rejection and everything. So he must pray for the baby.
Thanks. We also, one group, as they came into the hospital, there was a lady that was dead already for 6 hours, lying there, because they couldn't remove the body between all the other people in this ward. And I think she was dead. She already died 2 o'clock the afternoon, and we were there about 7:30 the evening, and they still have not removed the lady. So when we hear stories of that, we suddenly begin to say, well, either we can sort of hear it and say, well, yeah, that's it, you know. But when kids are thrown into the river in a black bag, we know that, you know, stuff isn't lekker in our society. And one of the things is very simply is because we live in a fatherless generation. I always think, where is that dad, you know? Why is he not taking responsibility? And I want us to read again in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, very simply, it's one of the most profound verses probably where Paul writes, and he says, we need to understand that God is, when we're in this world, there's a lot of things that we need to cry out for. There's a lot of things that can happen in our lives. And we were there at the Salvation Army, and a guy came and he told his story. And I don't want to tell everything that he said, but But as we baptized him, a couple of the guys there, he came out with a horrendous story of what happened with his dad and his stepdad. And he started to cry, and he said, and he wept because he said, well, he just, all in his life, he just wanted some belonging. He wanted to belong somewhere. And you know what? That is one of the major driving forces in the world that we live in. It's we all want to belong. We all want to say, well, I feel affirmed. I feel accepted. I feel that, you know, somebody is looking out for me. And some of us do it through the stuff that we own, through the places where we go, the name that we have. But it's amazing when Scripture says here that we've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received. Now, when we receive something, it means from God, it's something you cannot earn, it's something you cannot do, like we saw on the Who Wants to Live a Million Years. It's God's gift. God gives us the Holy Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said it, when he's going to go away, we're going to do greater works than what Jesus did because of this helper, because of the Holy Spirit that he sent to us. I really want to ask us, do we believe today that we are going to do greater works than Jesus? Do you believe that? Oh, thank you for the 20 people on this side. Do you believe that you can do greater works than what Jesus did through the Holy Spirit? Okay, almost there. We're going to get there today. But very simply, that is the promise. And when God gives you a promise, when he gives me a promise, there's no second promise or maybe if whatever. He says, look here, if we lock into the fullness of God. And I remember when I got Spirit-filled, I was like very conservative. We were in a little classroom and there was a teacher that could play the piano without being able to read any notes or any stuff. He would just sit in front of the piano and he could play any Christian music, any Christian worship songs, but he couldn't play any secular songs. So he would just go and sit in front of the piano and they would start to play and start to worship. And that evening specifically, he said, look here, you're not going to really understand, but you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I've not even heard whether you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means, and I'll never forget it. It was a closed room. There were no windows in the room. It was just a door. I don't know why they always do that. Probably soundproof or whatever, but in any case, or it's maybe for those people that start out the first time. You know, I remember one of my girls who started with a violin. For the first 2 years. You know, we built in a door in our house just to keep the sound on the other side. Didn't work, you know. But very simply, when we were sitting there in this room and I just prayed this prayer. I said, okay, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And the next moment, a wind came into the room like, and a wind started to blow. Now, I remember just looking up and thinking, where on earth does this wind come from, you know? And then the next moment, all of us were like singing in these weird languages. And there was a guy, my best friend was standing next to me. His name was Andre. And he was singing in this like Hebrew language, you know? And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm a chantas, you know? This must be from God because he's 10 times more conservative than I am. So this must be from God, you know. So that was my sort of motivation to receive and to move in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But it's amazing when God gives us a gift, you know. Sometimes it comes in ways that we do not expect and in ways that we cannot box something in. God's gift is bigger than us. And so when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he says, look here, there's one thing you need to understand. God never motivates us through fear. He never brings a spirit of bondage, which some people call an illegitimate spirit or a religious spirit. God does not motivate us through that. But he says there's something that happens when you and I come to God and we begin to say and we surrender to the Holy Spirit. You know what it begins to do? The Holy Spirit begins to cry out, Abba, Father. And I've always read over it, but I actually missed that part. The most important is the crying. He doesn't say ask. He says cry. It's a place like a little baby that is dependent on mom or dad, especially mom, not dad, but mom for milk, yeah? And begins to cry out, begins to like, there's a something inside that the Holy Spirit wants to do, an ability to release a cry unto God. And you don't just cry out, oh, help, or whatever. You cry out, Abba, Father. You cry with an ability, something, a passion inside of us to begin to say to God, God, I need you. I'm dependent on you. I want your fullness in my life. And that's what Paul writes about. He says there's an ability to cry out, Daddy. But the other side of that thing is a bondage. It's a spirit of fear. And let me tell you very simply that the world, the spirit of the world and the things happening in the world, most people are motivated by fear. Most people do stuff because they don't want to be something else. So people climb the corporate ladder many times because they just don't want to be poor. Just don't want to be like that. Or dad said something over you, or mom said over you, and you say, well, I'm never going to be like that. So I'm going to work hard. You know, there was a guy who shared the other day with me, and he won't mind, but I'll just use the principle. He said his dad worked very hard. Like his dad really loved him, but his dad worked very hard. And through that working very hard, you know, he started to hate work. He knew his dad loved him, but because his dad worked so hard, his dad was never at home. His dad came back home at 10 o'clock every evening. And then his dad tried to overcompensate over the weekend, sometimes on a Saturday afternoon when his dad arrived home, to give him some gifts. Because his dad said, okay, I really love you, but I must work hard because it's actually for you that I'm doing it. And now he's second year at university and he's struggling to work. He says he cannot pass his stuff. He's just failing because he really, in essence, hates work because he says work is for him equal to no love, no affirmation. So now he has to work through those issues. Another guy came and he told and he said, well, simply, you know, his dad was never there. His dad was just absent. So what he started to do is he started to grow independent from a young age, from when he was 9, he had to sort of look after his mother. And so now for him, it's very difficult to be able to open up his heart to other people around him, to trust other people, because he's so independent in what he does that he's really like, there's no breakthrough in his life. He says everything he does, he's like a control freak, because that's the way his perception of life is. You have to make it on your own. Be strong. You know, and all of us have got our stories as to where we came from. Sometimes dad was there, but he was so absent, he wasn't involved at all. And then we react to certain ways. But Paul writes here and he says, look here, you have not received that spirit. You've not received a spirit that motivates you because you're always in reaction to your past, or you're always in reaction to other things. But you've actually received an ability to break out from where you are and to be able to cry out to God, to begin to say to God, God, here am I. You are my dad. I thank you for the freedom that I have as a child to come to you. Hello. Are you with me this morning? Okay, that's just part of the introduction, and we're all warming up. Okay. So in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says a promise that Jesus gave. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So Jesus promises that to his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And then he says this beautiful word. He says, when the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, you're going to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. That's what that word endued means. It's an ability to come and be clothed, or be, like it says there, be sealed, or to array. Now, the ladies, you know exactly what this means, okay? When you go there and you stand in front of the mirror every morning and you array yourself, you adorn yourself, okay? And you stand there and say, what am I going to wear today, you know? And there's like 40 stuff there and 50 pairs of shoes sometimes and all this stuff. And still, it's difficult for you to be able to decide which one, you know, because I wore this 2 weeks ago. I don't hope, you know, anybody, Louise won't mind, but one day she bought herself like this nice jacket, you know, and there's like this orange Prochorus bin here, you know, and so she came to church, and then another lady didn't like her jacket that she bought, and she threw her jacket the previous week. She threw it into the orange bin, but it was exactly the same jacket as Louise bought that week for her. So now Louise arrives here at church, and then the lady comes up to her and says, "Oh, does the pastor's wife get the first choice out of the orange bin?" Yeah. So I was just thinking, oh, okay. It's weird what people think, you know. The one said once, if the offering bag goes by at the back, you know, does Fred and Sia stand there and then throw it up into the end, and then they just cut it in half, and half goes to him and half goes to him, or two-thirds to Fred and a third, you know. It's amazing what goes on in people's heads, you know, as to what happens in church. But in any case, so, but here Jesus comes and he says there's a promise. It's a promise from God. If you've got a promise, then it means that there's something that happens. There's something that you're looking forward to. There's something that motivates you. There's something that fulfills your desires. And he says it's like you being clothed or arrayed or sealed. It's like when you put on that jacket this morning, it does something to you as a person. It keeps you warm. Hey, Kumi. If you don't have a jacket here this morning, you're going to be cold. But we all put on jackets, we put on clothes, we array ourselves, we adorn ourselves sometimes, ladies, to look beautiful for the world out there. Or for the people that we see. Because we don't want to look muff. Okay? What's that in English? Muff. We don't want to look muff. Okay? We don't want to look bad. So we wear these clothes, we do that stuff, but you know, the most beautiful thing that a Christian has is, and you have to know this, is when we are adorned, we are arrayed by the Holy Spirit. It's literally the Holy Spirit coming upon us, coming over us, coming into us, and God begins to do something. I remember a lady, she was like 85 years old, and her husband was 87, and I met them in Cape Town. One of those moments that changed my life, this woman and this auntie, you know, they came there, and they were so on fire, you know, they were so like, they were praying and going like, "Yeah, Jesus, we love Jesus," and the auntie, the grandma said, she said, "Look here, God just gave us another mandate. We're gonna plant another church for Him." And she's like 85 years old. I was thinking, "Hallelujah, Lord, that's how I want to die one day, full of glory, full of splendor." Because of the Holy Spirit, because of the freedom that the Holy Spirit has. And do you know what? When we walk into the place, people can recognize that. And do you know, especially Satanists and people out there. I had a friend who was a Satanist, and she came to salvation. She lost her head completely. She went to Groendakkies, Green Roofs, there in Cape Town. I don't know what you call it, but Green Roofs. Yellow Roofs. Is it yellow now? Green Roofs. Oh, they changed it. It's yellow. Okay, so Yellow Roofs. So she went to Yellow Roofs. She lost her head. And then she came to salvation. And she said something that really challenged me. She said, very simply, you know, when she walked down the street when she was still a Satanist, she could see Christians, spiritful Christians, a mile off. And she said she didn't want to put her curses and stuff on them because she realized it's going to bounce back to her. But she was actually a bit afraid. And she said, but the only thing that always puzzled her is she always wanted to ask them, "Why don't you recognize what you have?" Because she said, it's always like they don't know what they have. They walk around, but they don't realize. It's as if they are submitting to accusation and condemnation and all that stuff, but they don't realize. If they could only see that they actually spiritually look different. Hello. And that changed my life, that story. Because I realized, wow, if God comes, the fullness of God, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, Scripture says, is in you. We have the ability to release the fullness of God. So God wants us to be arrayed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise." Sealed with the Spirit of promise. The word there for sealed is the word arabon. It's the same word that we use for down payment or a deposit. Say you're going to have a contract and somebody gives you a deposit. Says something greater is going to happen. There's something you can look forward to. It's like an engagement ring. In gagament ring. Okay. A verloof ring. Okay. And the ladies know this. All the single guys, they will not take you seriously until there's something that can prove it. A little ring on the finger. You should see the ladies. Where is Matthijs and Elsha? It's Matthijs' birthday, though, somewhere. I don't know if I saw them this morning. But Elsha, the other day, they got engaged. And so Elsha comes in here. She comes, sits right in front. She's always like head usher, but she sits, she worships differently. Just with the left hand. I don't know why, you know, but it's like, there's like a promise of something to come. We're engaged, but there's something to come. Now we've got a date, we're fixed, we're focused, there's something coming. Before that, no focus, no seriousness. But when that ring is on the finger, guys, then there's proof. The proof is in the on the finger, okay? Not in the pudding. But so very simply, Scripture says here, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with, again that word, the Holy Spirit of promise. God is a God of promises. God is a God of rewards. God is a God who says to us, look here, you cannot be subject to the spirit of this world. But there's a promise. There's something I want to stir in your heart that every morning when you wake up, you don't look at all the negatives or your circumstances, but you realize, I've been sealed. It's like a stamp that you put on a letter, like you had in the old days, and you see it in the movies sometimes, you know, the seal of the king. On a letter, it's been sealed. Nobody breaks it. Nobody can, because the king's word is in there. It's a beautiful picture of God coming through his word in our lives. And when we begin to share the word of God, the Holy Spirit puts his seal. It's on your life. It's like you can walk around and say, wow, God, I am, and have a promise. I've got an ability to walk in the fullness of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, because it doesn't just help us to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Very simply, if we're led by the Spirit, there's an ability where we say, God, I understand that there's going to be a challenge inside of me. It's always the flesh against the spirit. Because I'm going to try to live by feelings or by emotions. But God says, no, you cannot live by feelings or emotions. You must live by faith and conviction. Turn to somebody next to you and say, live by faith and conviction and not by feelings and emotions. Some of you are very sharp this morning. So very simply, what we sometimes misinterpret in the charismatic church is we think that the Holy Spirit is led by emotions or feelings. It's like, ooh, here comes this mist. Ooh, you know. Then we're like, ooh, you know. And it's amazing that you get these people that they stand and then they come. And the moment when you start to worship, they go, you know, I always want to go just closer and check. Now, where on earth does this come from, you know? Why is it always the right hand shaking, you know? It's like, and you know, and then they think, well, if I don't shake, then the Holy Spirit is not there. But you know, that is hogwash. That's not scriptural. Because very simply, the two things that opens up the leading of the Holy Spirit is simply discipline in your life and an obedience to the voice of God. The Holy Spirit does not move if you don't have discipline, because that's the basics of following Christ. It means to be a disciple. If there's no discipline, if you're not going to spend time with God, if you're not going to spend time in His Word, do you know what? The Holy Spirit cannot lead you anywhere. Because the main function of the Holy Spirit is very simply, is to remind us of the things that Jesus said. And if you have not read what Jesus said, if you're not in the Word, do you know what? The Holy Spirit cannot lead you. Hello? Because Jesus said, if you love me, do as I say. Be obedient. God measures our leading, our following Him by simply obedience and not by feeling. Hello. So then it brings a dependence on God and it makes us delight on God and in God. So very simply, the Holy Spirit wants to move, the Holy Spirit, but you have to get the Word inside of you. And then you have to say, Lord, I want to live a disciplined life, because it's not about saying yes to a lot of things. It's about saying no to a lot of things as a Christian. Did you know that? Hello? Discipline is not about saying yes to a lot of things. It's about saying no to a lot of things. No, I am not going to watch television for the rest, for the whole weekend. No, I am not going to do that. No, I am not going to do this. Because there's lots of stuff that you want to do that feels nice, but you know what? That is emotional and feeding. You can ask these people that went on the mission this week. It's very hard work. When we went up there to the rubbish dumps and all the people are going through the rubbish stuff and, you know, and sitting there, beautiful people, amazing people, each one with a beautiful story just like you and me. And you walk through the stuff there and you talk to them. You know, it's not easy because you allow yourself to open something in your heart, God, to open something in your heart. But then when you read Matthew 25, then you realize, oh, yeah, God sees it. I was in hospital and you came to visit me. I was in prison and you came. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you gave me food. So simply, the measurement there is just, what did you do? Not how did you feel at church? Well, I had all these intentions to go and change the world, but I was so busy. I had lots of intentions as a Christian, but 30 years later, I realized, oops, I didn't get around to it. I want to challenge you, what has God said to you, and are you doing it? Because that's what he's going to ask of you one day. It's as simple as that. It's obedience. The third thing quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 to 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So very simply he says, look here, and I want to challenge, especially us in the Western way of thinking. If you want to connect with the fullness of God, you cannot do it in the natural. You cannot by having control over your life. It's actually by releasing, relinquishing control. Becoming more dependent on God in your workplace. I remember we were in India once and we were standing up on a big, on a high story building. It was like a 6-story building and we needed a miracle because we needed to connect with certain people that could get us from Bangalore to Chennai, and we just didn't have a clue how we were going to get there because the trains were fully booked, everything. And so as we were praying up on top of this story of this building, the Lord said to me, go and look over the side, and I looked over the side and there were people walking down the street, but it was like 8 or 10 people and they looked like they were praying. They were walking around doing like a prayer walk. And I prayed, I guess, and we all, three of us got the same word from God that we must pray, that we're going to connect with those people. So we started to pray. We said, okay, Lord, there's not a chance. We can't run down here. We can't, you know, whistle. We can't do anything. But there they go. And they walked off. But the Bangalore is a massive city. Think about 20 million people, maybe even more, 30 million people. So here we pray and we sort of almost forget about it. 2 days later, as we're sitting in Bangalore in a bus, and the buses in India is like, you know, it's a 50-seater, but they normally put another zero on there, you know, 500-seater, you know, 400 people on the roof, 300 people inside, you squash, you know. And so here we get in, and you have to rush in there, you have to jump in there, and you sort of hang on the side. And we always had the two biggest guys pushing the team in, you know. So then, fortunately, Indians aren't that big, you know. So I'm like huge in India. It's a great place to be for me, you know, because I just intimidate everybody there, you know. So yeah, we push the people up into this bus, and everybody's standing there. And Indians, you know, I love Indians, but they smell like curry, you know. So it's like, oh, you know. So you just have to try to get to the window there. So here we're sitting next to the window, trying to get a fresh breath and all that stuff. And and as I turn around, there's another guy standing here next to me. And then he says to me, "We went prayer walking the other day." And I'm thinking, I say, where? And I say that part, and he starts to describe. But I haven't said a word to him, and he tells me that he went prayer walking. Huh? And so now I start to, and then I realized, here on the bus, on the other side of Bangalore, I stand next to one of those eight people that was prayer walking. And it was the perfect connection to get us to Chennai. So I just love it when a plan comes together. Amen? God's plan. Because when you just hear what God says and you begin to do that, it's so easy. Because God knows how this thing works. I've got good news for you. God knows how this thing supposed to work out. I've got more good news for you. Some of you, it may be bad. You haven't got a clue. And I haven't got a clue. Are you with me? So very simply, when we have this witness of the Holy Spirit that he writes, there's a place where we have to live a life of sanctification. A life that is separate. And that's why it says the spirit of the world is different than the Holy Spirit. It's not the same spirit. The spirit of the world makes you walk in the place where it's by lust, it's by feelings, it's by emotions, it's by feel good. That's what our advertising business is about, you know. You need this. It's great. You know, when you look at that, you think, wow, I am actually now hungry. And then you're actually not hungry when you look at that ad. So the whole world says to you, get more, feel good, be a consumer. Well, that's the spirit of the world. It draws us away from, it's an antichrist spirit. It draws you away from the Christ spirit, the Holy Spirit that says, draw near to God. Draw near to God. He wants to fill your life. He wants to bring a fullness of God in your life. He wants to bring a peace in your heart. He wants to surround you. He wants to show you things to come. He wants to clothe you. He wants you to know that you're engaged. I love that picture. So Fos, he's not here. I want him to share tonight. But he had a picture in the intercession the one morning. And he said, it's very simply, it's like a lady that's going to be betrothed to her husband, that's going to get married to her husband. What's beautiful is the lady gets the surname of the husband. He places his honor on her and say, come and be married to me. What a beautiful picture of Jesus placing his Holy Spirit on us and drawing us through the Holy Spirit to himself. Say, I'm engaged to you. I want to get married. I want you close to me. But then you're going to be honored. You're going to wear my name. You're going to wear my seal. You're going to be clothed with me. That wherever you go, people can say, wow, that bride is being prepared for the bridegroom, for the husband. Can some of you say amen? What a place. So we need a sanctification. We need the helper. That's why the Holy Spirit is also the comforter in our lives. Let me read you another scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and with the Spirit of the Lord there is liberty. Talks especially in relation to the law on this religious spirit. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Say this after me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So very simply, we're not just clothed with the Holy Spirit, but you and I need to start to recognize that God wants to lead us. God wants us to be consecrated. God wants you to have that witness that sometimes you're going to walk into a situation and the Holy Spirit is just going to say to you, no, don't go there. Don't do that. Or yes, do that. And then it's not going to be in the natural. It's not going to make sense. But then you just have to do it. I've told you the story before. As we went into Angola one day and we were driving to this border post and the people there, all the policemen were drunk and the army people were drunk and they really gave us lots of hassles and they just said, there's not a way you're going to go through here. We needed to go through there. And that evening, so we just reversed like for 500 meters, stopped. And then we started to pray. And this was our prayer. Say, Lord, close up their eyes. Make us invisible. To them, that they don't realize that we've just been there 20 minutes ago. So we prayed for half an hour, and here we go with our little bus up again, 18 of us, we stop again, and here the same people come out, and they stand there, and they say, hello, who are you? I just thought, I love it when God's plan comes together. They didn't recognize us the second time around. And then they asked us for Bibles the second time around. So I just love prayer, you know, and connecting with God, connecting with His purposes. And we just prayed and said, Lord, let them not see, let them forget, you know. I love it when you can sort of take control over the situation, where the natural says something, but God says something else. And people, that is our inheritance. That is part of, you know, the inheritance isn't this like, ooh, up there, it's just gold up in heaven. Your inheritance is the fullness of the manifest glory of God on your life, on my life. When we start to go into the world and they begin to see, there's something different here. This person really loves. This person really has the ability. There's something different about this person. And that's our inheritance, is the ability to walk into a situation and know the heart of God through the Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Grieved is when we do deliberate sin and we keep on doing sin over in our lives. Quenched is when we just ignore Him. And most Christians are in that place. We just ignore the Holy Spirit. It's like His wallpaper. We just say, okay, God, you're up there. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to go to church. But they don't say it's a person in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to bring the fullness of God into your life, but that means you need to yield to Him. You need to be sanctified. You need to come to that place every day. I need to come to that place and say, God, less of me and more of you. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? It's a place of consecration. I love the heart of David. You know, David came, and then every time they say, the scripture says about David that he strengthened himself in God. He inquired of God. He made lots of mistakes, but one thing he got right is he had a heart after God, because he understood that there's a place where I can come to God and I can live in a fullness. I'm not going to be a half-hearted Christian. I'm not going to do little bits here and little bits there. I want to live in the fullness of God. And that's why God sent these spirits, so that we can have that freedom. And it says there that God has brought us liberty. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He says, the world, there's a veil on people. They cannot see God. And especially religious people, and when you keep on reading the law over and over and over, do you know what happens? A veil is placed over your life, that you cannot see God. I said it last week, and some people were a bit upset, but I'm going to say it straight again. That is the power of sometimes of infant baptism and things like that. It places a veil over people. And they struggle to connect with God because you can see it. Whether you're a Hindu, the people always place it here. They talk about your third eye. They put a little dot there. In our African religions, exactly the same. They take ash, they place ash here on your head, right there in the middle. Because they say, we're going to close up your third eye. We're going to close up your spiritual eye. The ability to see spiritual stuff. Or we're going to replace it with something else. But Paul says, look here, the veil has been taken away. And that's why in some places you hear people read the Ten Commandments over and over. Why? Because it reinforces the veil. That's what Paul writes here about. But he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's a freedom. God had to deliver me, because although I was Spirit-filled and I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I still struggled to see and relate to spiritual things. I could not be led by the Holy Spirit, although I was clothed with the Holy Spirit. And that's what God says, look here, I want you to go and do greater things as you follow me, as you come into that place of relationship. Now it's getting very quiet in here. But that's the witness. God, there's a witness of what Jesus has done in your life. I love the word witness. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it talks about that word for witness as martyr, a martyr for Christ. So it's not an easy place. It's not a nice thing. It's actually you become a martyr. You lay down your life because you realize I'm either going to submit to the spirit of the world or I'm going to submit to the spirit of Christ. And that Spirit of Christ is the anointed one, the one that can stand up and say, this is what God says. This is the freedom. I can walk into a situation and I can declare God's freedom over a situation because I'm anointed. That's what Jesus said in Luke 4 verse 18. He says, I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the good news, to let the oppressed go free, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to open up the prison doors, to proclaim the year of Jubilee. And I want to ask you very simply on that standard with God. And Pastor Fred spoke about it last week. God has got a standard, and we see that with this closed circle. We see that God wants a group of people that can step up and say, yes, God, we are not going to submit to the spirit of the world, but we're going to have the freedom to walk into a situation and say, this is what God sees. Walk into a person's life and release the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I desire that fullness of God just over and over in my life. Hello. That's why Jesus said I must go away, so that I can send my spirit to everybody. I know it's for some of us, this you think like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. But I want to ask you very simply and very straightforward, does it manifest in your life? Do you have a lifestyle of yieldedness to God, the Holy Spirit? Do you know Him as a person? Do you know Him as your friend? Does He speak to you, or is it just wallpaper? And when you go back home, I want to ask you as a family, go and pray before you walk into that front door. Say, Holy Spirit, we invite you, we acknowledge you here. Holy Spirit, come, this is your home. And you see, this spirit of bondage, Paul writes about it, and I've seen it a couple of times, and it was actually very scary that you get people. We had a student last year that ran up into Kaimundi, and he was running up and down because he believed he must go and witness because he's actually blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. When somebody is so afraid that they've blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, then I immediately know it's a spirit of bondage. Because when you blaspheme with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven. But you know, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you will not be sitting here this morning, because you won't be drawn to God. You will already made a decision to run away. But there's a sin. There's one sin that cannot be forgiven. I say this with great fear, fear of God, not fear of man. One sin, Scripture says, is when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Is when you come to a place and you say, well, I don't want to do, I don't want something to do with that. I don't know. And that's a terrible sin. Because God will not forgive you. That's how serious God feels about this engagement, this seal, this promise on your life. But you know, it brings liberty. And that's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I also will sing with the understanding. So Paul says, I'm going to pray in Afrikaans, I'm going to pray in English. But what I want you to understand, and he says it in verse 18 there of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, I pray more in the spirit than all of you together, church, because I understand the value of praying in spirit, the spirit. What do you understand under praying in spirit is where you pray in a tongue and you build yourself up. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because for some of us maybe here this morning, it may feel a bit weird, or you're like charismatic, you're like weird. This is not reserved for a couple of people. Scripture says in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And everywhere, like you can see in Brazil now, 40 million Christians, spiritful. They just had a worship service the other day in Sao Paulo, and I think 2 million people pitched there in the streets. They didn't have place for all the people. You go to Nigeria, and you go to places all across the world, in South Korea, and then you see how God is beginning to move through people surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And Paul says in verse 18 there, he says, look here, I pray more because I understand the value of building myself up, of consecrating myself, of always praying. He says, that's what Ephesians says. He says, always pray. How can you always pray? Well, very simply, by praying, by yielding to the Holy Spirit. And God has given you that ability. I remember we did a Foundation 4 one day, and the in Paul Ruiz, and this lady was standing there, and the other lady came from Mossel Bay, and she was just, there was really a situation where this one lady was struggling so much. And then this other lady came, and she stood behind her, and she started to pray in tongues. She started to pray in a language that she didn't understand. And then this lady in front of her fell to the ground, because she, the one behind her, was talking and praying her whole life, because it was in Zulu. She was praying a whole life message over this lady, and she was just worshiping God. She was thinking she was worshiping God while she was praying in perfect Zulu over this lady. Everything from when she was born, where she was born, how God felt over her, what God said over her, the promises. This Zulu lady was lying there on the ground, delivered. She didn't know the demons left at the beginning already. There was no even manifestation or weird stuff or anything, because she just knew God's presence was in the place. And that's why it says ultimately that the tongues is for assigned to unbelievers. Where God wants us to move in a place where we can experience the fullness of God. You know, once we were in Malawi and there was a guy coming on our team, and he said, God said to him that he must begin to pray in tongues. And I was thinking, oh, this is not a good place to start. There's 1,000 people here. We're having an outreach. And now this guy is going to want to pray in tongues. So that's what he did. He took the microphone. He stood up and he just started to pray. And I was like thinking, oh, God, this is really like a step of faith. This is our first evening in this guy. But he really felt, you know, it was confirmed. And so he started to pray. And then after about 30 seconds later, I realized that the whole crowd was nodding their heads. And I was looking at this guy from the Free State, Bloemfontein, Boerke. And the people were understanding what he was praying. 45 minutes later, he was delivering a sermon in Chichewa. And he didn't understand a word that he said. And he preached to them, and many people came to salvation. Now, you may think that is weird, but just go and read Acts chapter 2 and 3, what Pastor Fred shared about last week. Then you see these Jews coming from the upper room, being filled with the fullness of God. They come out, and then the Hellenists and the Greeks and all the different Jews stand there, and they say, what on earth is happening here? Because these people are praying and speaking in our languages, and they're just from around the corner here. How are they supposed to speak in our language? This is a miracle. And then we see 3,000 people come to salvation the first day, assigned to unbelievers. So I've got news for many Christians here, charismatic, spiritual Christians, that it's not for you. The gift is not for you. It's for the world. Just like all the spiritual gifts. There's the ability to pray where you build yourself up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 and 3 says that we speak mysteries unto God. You build yourself up. But God wants to release an ability over us so that the whole world can see. And that's not this weird stuff. It's just where you can walk into life and you can speak into somebody's language. And with somebody's language, you can speak into their life. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Doesn't mean you're going to speak in Zulu or Xhosa. It just means you speak their language. So that they understand that there's a God that lives. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Not for a nice church experience. Not for an up and down, jumping up and down, feeling good. And then we have another church meeting where we say, oh, I got slain in the Holy Spirit. And I fell forwards today. That was much more anointed than falling backwards. Forwards is like, have you read scripture? Most people that saw God fell forward. Okay, so if you want to be really scriptural, you must fall forward, not backwards, you know. Charismatics get it wrong, you know. So we go, doof, you know. I'm not belittling the falling backwards, but you need to fall forward when you really see God, okay. But you know, it's amazing how hogwash and fuzzy thinking we get when it comes to the fullness of God. The only thing I want to say to you today, very simply again, is there's a promise. Romans chapter 8 says, there's an ability to cry out, Abba Father, because the Holy Spirit comes and He bears witness with your spirit. There's a witness in your life that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God through Jesus Christ. There's an ability to cry out to Him. There's an ability to be released into the fullness of God. But stop playing games with the things of God. We are not here to have churchianity or nice church experience. We are here to see the kingdom of God come. And that means less of you, less of me, more of Him. Less of you, less of me, more of Him. Are you willing to pay that cost? Are you willing to pay that price? Will you stand with me today? You see, that word for cry, when we talk about praying in the Holy Spirit, it says it's not only an earnest, but a natural expression of desire. It brings a holy, humble, childlike confidence before God. The ability to cry out to God. The ability to step out of your circumstances, out of the fears, out of the intimidation. And you begin to say to God, God, there's something that I'm missing with that fullness. It's called power. It's called dunamis in my relationship with you. It's called a passion to connect with you. That word we get, dynamite, is that ability, explosive power. That's what Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we have to be very honest with ourselves, Church of Jesus Christ, especially in the West, that we've got no power. We've got lots of forms of godliness. Because we're just focusing on the wrong, in the wrong place. The focus is to our Abba, as our Father. It's the ability to connect with His heart. And I said it right at the beginning, 3 weeks ago, that God wants the nations to know His glory. If you understand that, you're going to walk in the fullness of God. God wants that ability, that close circle, that ability for us to connect with each other. But He wants to break the veils over your life and over my life that says, no, I'm going to just do this little church thing and then I'm going to feel good. I'm going to just keep on living in intention land. And that must stop, because the places where we're going, the things God is busy revealing, you can't play games. And I want to invite you this morning, because I'm just very challenged. And I've been challenged by God, where God just came, says to me over and over, you haven't got a clue what I want to do. But you're going to need to align yourself, because when Ananias and Sapphira come, you're going to be either one of two sides. And you'll be ready, because I want to get you to the right side so that you understand the fear of God. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, there's a fear of God. There's an awe-struck, awesome ability to connect with God. But then we're not playing games and we're not playing church, because we know God is in the place and we all are in order. We're all in the ability to be disciplined and obedient, and we're following God. We're not running around like loose cannons, being lawless all over the place and thinking we're doing God a favor. There's one general, there's one in charge, and His name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit helps us to follow Him. What a freedom. But this morning, God wants to remove certain veils over our lives. And we're going to ask the kids to pray for us. Because, you know, kids have that ability to just move in the fullness of God. There's somebody here this morning, for 3 nights, you could not sleep because of intense back pains. 3 nights, you could not sleep because of back pains. Where are you? We want to pray for you. Just quickly, you couldn't sleep properly. There's also somebody here with intense dreams. You get like these intense dreams. And especially on Thursday night, you woke up in an intense sweat. And God wants to take away that fear over your life. There's also somebody here that is, as I'm calling you out, I want you to come to the front. Because we're not shy here about what God wants. If God calls us and He gives us that ability to bring that freedom, then just come out. Because there's healing for you. I want you to come quickly. There's somebody here that gets these. It actually feels to you like you've got two minds. This I'm going to explain to you. It feels like you've got two minds in your head. Because you sort of black out and then you get other thoughts and stuff. It actually feels to you almost like two personalities. But your mind runs away with you a little bit. And then it's like you switch into this other mode. And it's always this thing. You haven't got a clue, but you're always thinking like, whoa, I'm actually two people living in the same body. You've been thinking that for a while, and God wants to bring peace to your emotions. He wants to bring peace right now this morning and tell you who you are. Where's that person? I want you to come quickly. Just come quickly. Come. Don't be shy, because God wants to deliver you from a spirit of confusion and a mind-binding spirit. There's a thing over your head. There's a thing that comes. There's also people here, you've been subject to a spirit of confusion. Meaning that your head, you cannot, there's no silence in your head. There's no quiet peace, place of rest in your head. It's like, it's always like, there's always this stuff and always these things. And there's lots of confusion in your head. I want you to come quickly to the front, because God wants to release a piece of your life. Just to know Him. You cannot come into the rest of God. I want you to come and stand right here on the yellow line. Okay, there's lots of things that's going to happen now. I want us to remain focused, okay? Confusion. There's spirits of confusion. You really don't know who you are. But your heart is so to follow God. Your heart is so much to just be with Him. And God says you're going to be okay. And you need to hear that today. But He's going to bring a peace in your heart. There's somebody here. Not just one person, but there's about 7 people here that you have made decisions, and at this moment, those decisions that you've made, you feel that you are going to regret it. You feel that you've made a big, big, big mistake by making those decisions, but you cannot backtrack right now. And the Lord says He will make all things work together for your good. I want you to come quickly because we need to pray for you. We need to pray that because you want to lose hope. You want to lose hope. Just quickly come. There are 7 people here that God wants to say, look here, just bring it to Him. Just consecrate it to Him. Just quickly. There's nobody on show. Some of you are looking around as if this is a show. This is not a show. This is where God is going to set some people free today because His Holy Spirit is here. And I'm just obedient to what He's doing. So we're gonna ask the kids now. I want you to close your eyes. And you've heard about the Holy Spirit now. With Niku and with Ryan, they spoke to you about the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be used by God to pray for people today. Okay. Julle, moet nou reg wees. Ons gaan vir julle vra om vir mense te bid. Okay, maar wees net bietjie rustig. Moenie praat met enigiemand nie. Ons gaan nou vir mekaar bid. Okay. There's also some people here. You struggle, you really want to, but you struggle to pray in the Holy Spirit. Just very simply, there's a blockage and you haven't prayed for a long time. Haven't felt that freedom, that wells just being unblocked in your life, that fountains to spring up into life. I want you to come up quickly. Come and stand right here in front, on my right-hand side, your left-hand side. If you cannot pray, if you're struggling to pray in the Holy Spirit, but you have been baptized, somebody has been praying for you, or maybe you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then today it's for everybody. Scripture says it's for everybody that believes. And you're struggling. There's a bit of a block in your life. You cannot take authority. You cannot intercede. I want you to go and stand right there on that side because we want to pray for you. Or you want to be spirit-filled, meaning that you've never prayed. This may be the first time that you've heard of the fullness of God. It's all over Scripture. Then we want to pray for you because it's for you. It's the ability to just be released in the fullness of God. An ability to know the voice of God. An ability to be clothed by God. If you want to be spirit-filled, I want you to go right to that side, right on the left-hand side. Just stand right there. You can stand there in a row. I'm going to ask all the local mission people. I'm going to ask you to come. If you're standing in front, just remain in front. But all those people to come and stand behind somebody here. All those students that did the local mission. We're gonna just pray over you. But I don't want you to start praying. I just want you to start at the back because the kids, we're going to get them to pray, okay? We're going to get them to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. We just come this morning. We thank you for freedom. Lord, some of us are a bit afraid when it comes to the supernatural, when it comes to your voice. But Lord, it's our inheritance. And tonight we ask, Lord, this morning we ask for an ability to cry out, Abba, Father. Ability to connect with your heart. Lord, today we're not looking for peace. We're looking for the Prince of Peace. Today we're not looking, Lord, for a spirit-filled experience. Today we're looking to the Holy Spirit, to you, Lord, as the gift that you will come and place your seal on us so that when we wake up in the morning, there'll be a promise of life. There'll be a promise of freedom. Lord, and we lay down every intellectual pride, every intellectual and confusing thing, Lord, that stands in the way, where our heads always come into the way, Lord, and we cannot be like children. But we thank you this morning for your word and your voice. Thank you for the release of your fullness over our lives. There's somebody here with an infection in your ear at the moment, and you always struggle with infections in your ear. Where are you? We want to pray for you. Just come quickly to the front. We'd love to pray with you because Jesus still heals. He's the same. He's never changed. We've sometimes changed and moved away. And before we're going to pray for these people, and I'll ask the kids to come, we're going to ask and acknowledge the Holy Spirit as a person. And I know some of us are a bit afraid, but very simply, you don't need to be afraid because God has not given us that spirit of fear. But we're going to ask specifically, we're going to ask, say, Holy Spirit, help me to cry out, Abba Father. Help me, Lord, to cry out, Abba Father. And especially if you're here this morning and you feel like there's veils, there's like God is so distant, He's so far from us. There's really a freedom just to come to Him. There's a freedom where He wants to come and stay. Like Michael said, that scripture this morning in the offering, where Elijah came to stay. with that widow. It's the same. God is our Emmanuel. He's God with us. There are some people here that I sense are so lonely. You feel very lonely. I want everybody to close their eyes. You feel baie alleen. And there's this deep battle inside of you. You don't want to feel lonely anymore. Maybe you're standing in front. Maybe you want to stand in back. I want to start with you. Won't you just raise your hand? Because we want to pray for you. You feel very lonely. And there's like these things in your life that wants to just say to you that you don't belong and you're not going to make it. And there's just like a fear in your life. A fear of being alone. And that's why sometimes you have to surround yourself with lots of people and lots of voices and lots of things and lots of movies and all that stuff. But God wants to bring a peace. If that's you, just raise your hand to Him. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray a prayer for you. Father, we come against this loneliness. We come against the heaviness. We come against the things, Lord, that want to say to us, Lord, that you're not actually with us. But we're going to die, Lord, alone one day without any significance. But Lord, we break that lie over people's lives here this morning. Many people, God, we break the things and the accusations and the fears that say to people, Lord, they cannot and they will not belong. But today we thank you for that freedom, Lord. A freedom that you are Emmanuel, God with us. A freedom, Lord, that you cloak us, Lord. You clothe us with the fullness, Lord, of your Spirit, Lord. Where there's a witness and we have a witness in our lives, Lord, to the glory of God, to the fullness of God. And Lord, today we take off every other cloak, every other thing, Lord, that we have clothed ourselves with, Lord, that is contrary, Lord, to your Spirit, Lord. Every false thing, every religious thing, every sin that ensnares us, we throw it off, Lord, so that we can look to Jesus. And Holy Spirit, help us today for that freedom to look to Jesus, that freedom to run to Jesus, that freedom to know the Father and to understand His ways. Father, we pray for a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit, a fresh yieldedness. And I want us all just to pray this prayer. Lord, I stand before you. I yield to you. I consecrate myself to you. My body, my soul, and my spirit. Lord, use me to the glory of your name. I thank you that this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, clothe me, array me, adorn me, seal me, Lord, with the promise of the Father. I refuse every other lie, accusation, and thing that this world has put on me. And I walk away from every lying spirit. And I come to you. I open up my heart to you. Have your way. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in my life and through my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. I want all the kids quickly to come. I want you to come and stand right here. I want you to be very silent. Al die kinders, ons wil hier moenie praat nie. Kom gou vinnig vorentoe. En dan al die meisiekies, ek wil hê julle moet by 'n meisie gaan staan en al die seentjies, julle moet by 'n seun gaan staan, okay? En dan is daar iemand agter daai mense wat gou vir jou gaan, hulle gaan saam met jou bid. En ag, wat ons gaan doen? What we're going to do is we're going to lay our hands on people. And we're going to ask that God will use you, okay? Do you know that God wants to use you? Wat is jou naam, Gert, man? Gustav. Gustav, staan hier by my op die stage. Gustav, staan hier so. Is daar jou boetie? Gustav, glo jy dat die Heilige Gees jou wil gebruik vandag? Hoekom wil hy jou gebruik?
Want hy wil net hê dat ons allemaal moet kan gezond wees en hy wil hê dat ons allemaal moet kan gezond maak en hy wil hê ons allemaal moet gezond wees.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit just wants us to be healed because he wants us to be healed because he wants us to be healed. And he wants to use us. So Gustav is going to pray with some people. And then once we finish, kids, I want you to take somebody else's hand. And then we're going to pray for the people at the back there. About a month ago in Pekeberg, we had who had the kids to pray for people, and people got healed. There's a testimony of a woman that's about 65 years old. His knees, he was struggling for 10 years. He couldn't sleep at night. And just like that, a four-year-old prayed for him and he got healed instantly. He said he still felt something crack in his knees, and then he was healed. Are you ready? Okay. So kids, I want the people at the back, I want you to come to the front, and then you're going to pray together. And then if there's somebody here, maybe you don't know Jesus, then I want you to come right to the front, because we want to pray especially for you. Because this is what today is about. It's about connecting with Him. If there's some other people, some elders, or some of the Bible school teachers, or people that want to come and pray with, then why don't you come? Because we're going to just start to pray, and then we're going to pray for everybody. We want everybody to be prayed for today. I know that some of you are a bit in a rush, but let's just give God another 10 minutes or so that we can pray. Okay, so let's start. As we're going to worship God in front, if you're sick in your body, won't you come to the front as well? And then just put your hand on the place where you're sick so that we can know, especially while we can pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you want to use, Lord, these kids to reveal the fullness of God into these people's hearts, into their bodies. In Jesus' name, let's just worship Him.